it's not even so much what happens if Donald Trump wins or loses. It's what they are have already set in motion that is going to be the game going forward, which is why I say to a lot of folks who, hold on dearly to the party, we've got to let it go as it is, but in the process of letting it go, we just beat the shit out of it. We create the faction within it to have that fight, just as the Republicans did with the Whigs to emerge to become the Republican Party. This fight will occur, and something better will emerge out of this Republican Party. And so that's the setup play, and the lines are being drawn, the players are being leveled up. So it's then importantly, when you see someone like Liz Cheney coming out and endorsing Kamala Harris, what does that say to you when you're looking at the political landscape and then begin to see some of these movements by Republicans like her? Now, I'm already, everybody knows where I am. I was there 4 years ago. I figured this stuff out a long time ago and said, okay, y'all need to stand over here because this is where democracy is. It's not there, it's here. But now people are coming on, and we've worked behind the scenes to create the permission structure for, in fact, the Liz Cheneys and others to sort of get, stand in that space. But then, more importantly, for rank and file everyday Americans, center right, conservative, moderate Republicans who are fed up with watching the party deteriorate but feel they have no place to go, maybe you do.
And I think you saw a lot of that at the DNC. There was a lot of Republicans that spoke on the DNC stage. And the general consensus was, if you vote for a Democrat in this election, it doesn't make you a Democrat. It makes you a patriot, right? The idea is, do you believe the American experiment should continue or not? Because under Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, Project 2025, it will not. It will consolidate the federal government around one person, making us about as close to what we removed ourselves from with our independence as possible. It's basically a monarchy. We will completely can take over the Justice Department and attack our political enemies and put them in jail. And we're going to round up people completely antithetical to freedom and put them in camps and deport them. But show me how you're going to mass deport people, please. It's going to be a giant open air prison system that's a work camp. Like, I don't think we can pretend any otherwise. We're not going to bring in a bunch of planes and fly people to Haiti and fly people to North Korea and fly. Come on, we're not doing that. So we have to be realistic about all those things. And I think that it's just very important that people realize the moment we're in, that if you have Dick and Liz Cheney on the same side as Bernie Sanders, something has gone really wrong with the other side. And what you're speaking to, this idea that if you want your conservative party back, if you're like, but I am a Republican, I've always been a Republican, you're like, your party was consumed by MAGA. It is gone. If you want your party back, you must destroy MAGA. And to do that, that's not just not voting for Donald Trump. That's voting for Democrats up and down the ballot until MAGA and election deniers and these perpetual liars are destroyed. And then you can build a wonderful conservative party out of that. Because, like I said, there's going to be plenty of time for us to disagree about 25% tax rates versus 31% tax rates. And do we have, wealth taxes on people that made this much money? Or do we have, public school systems that are funded this way? We can have those discussions again, but not if the government itself no longer works because we gave the power to a wannabe autocrat and his oligarch backers. We have to be smart about that. And people like Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and those people are smart about that. Even Mitt Romney, if he's being quiet, he's on the other side. Somebody said the other day that the new silent majority is Republicans who just aren't telling other Republicans that they won't be voting for Trump. That's the new silent majority.
And not only do I agree with that, I know that to in fact be a real thing. I have a piece up right now on MSNBC Daily where I talk about the intentional voter. It's a group of voters that you've heard them, and you ask them a question about, oh, I intend to vote, and then it just kind of drifts off into not sure what or who, or
Yeah,
the
because
one.
they don't want to alienate themselves from their church or their neighbors or their army buddies or whoever.
And then the other side of it is of that intentional voter is the one who He says, well, I have no intention to vote this year. I don't want to be a part of it because I don't. And what's happened, and this goes back to the first part of our conversation where we talked about Kamala Harris bringing people in and sort of drawing them in from the moment she was announced. Well, the moment Joe Biden said, hey, this is the new nominee of the party. She's been able to draw these folks. And so those intentional voters who are not, by the way, captured in polling, are not considered in the process. And this is why I say states like Florida, North Carolina, given all the batshit stuff that's going on there in North Carolina with Mark Robinson
Jeez.
and Georgia, and given what's being done there to undermine the vote there, those states are in play because of these voters. The very ones you're talking about, the silent majority who aren't, just like in 16, where people weren't saying they were voting for Trump but went in the polls and did it, folks are now going, I'm not saying anything. I'll let you assume I'm voting for Trump, or I'll let you assume whatever you want, and they're going to do something different. And I
Yeah.
think that's a landscape for the Harris-Walz campaign for them to play effectively, which is why what you mentioned before about the platforms that she's reaching out to, the podcasts and the going on, late night television, talking to small town reporters, are reaching people through unconventional measures and means in a way that I still don't think the conventional thinkers understand or fully appreciate. And they
No,
probably
I
won't
don't
until
think
after
so.
the election. And instead they go, well,
Exactly,
how the hell did she
exactly.
win?
Exactly, because she reached out to the actual voter. She didn't play the old school media game, right? And I think that's important. I sat across the table on a CNN roundtable with a Republican strategist who's still a very hardcore
I saw
Republican
that. Yes,
strategist. And
yes.
she was saying, listen to Kamala Harris at the border. She sounds like a Republican. And I said, that should thrill you. Don't you want to vote for her? Because it's like, if she's saying all your policies, what's the
Yeah,
problem?
right. All of a sudden,
Like,
that's a bad thing. But that goes to your point, that Republican Party is dead. So
yes,
now you've
it's just
got
common
MAGA.
sense policies.
It's common sense. So MAGA's now looking at the common sense, narratives and policies that Republicans once put out and go, oh, she sounds like a Republican, as if that's a bad thing. And I'm
Right.
like, no, that's the whole point. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
So leave it
Listen,
go.
I think honestly, at the end of the day, I started the Politics Girl Project because no one in my life really cared about politics. And I knew that things were going off the rails and I wanted to talk about it, but I would see my friends' eyes glaze over when I did. And I think sometimes we were so busy living in a democracy that we forgot that we had to work in our democracy. And
Yeah.
now that things are a giant mess, we're like, we need to do something. And that is where I wanted to start from with this whole project. And it's where I've gone to now. And I think most people are waking up to that now. And that feels very exciting for both our democracy and for the future health of our country.